All right, guys, welcome again to 10 Minutes of Orthodoxy. If it's your first time, basically we spend 10 minutes before the Bible study to present an Orthodox concept, something about the Orthodox Church. What I'm going to share with you today is probably one of the most important concepts of the Orthodox Church, and if we understand this concept, a lot of the funny things we do in the church will make sense. So before I start, I'm just going to read you a few verses from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. I'm going to read from chapter 1, and I will start from verse 18. Pay attention, because I'm going to ask you questions. Okay, St. Paul, speaking about Christ, he says, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." So question, who is the head? Christ is the head. Who's the body? The church, or we are, exactly. So he's the head, we're the body. Now listen to this next bit. He says that God the Father wanted, through Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So God the Father wanted, through Christ, to reconcile us to himself. He clarifies in the next part coming up. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior." So we were enemies of God before Christ. "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's body through death to present you holy in his sight." So question, how has God reconciled us back to himself? Through Christ's death. And specifically, St. Paul says, through Christ's body. Back again to the first question I asked, what's the body?
Church.
The church. So God the Father has reconciled us back to himself through the church. Make sense? That means, so let's imagine here, that means that Christ is the head, the church is the body, right? Each one of us is a small member of the body, a finger, a thumb, everyone's a member. Can this finger, imagine I'm this finger, right? Can I say, I don't like this body? I'm just sick of them, you know, they're funny people, I don't like them, so I'm just going to cut myself off, and I take myself off, and I sit here on my own. What happens to this finger if it's cut off the body? It dies, right? And same with us, if we cut ourselves off the body of Christ, of the church, we die. But can I say, I don't need this body, I like the head though, so I like Christ, so I'm just going to cut myself off and stick myself to the head directly? I can't, can I? That's not the way God designed it. So the way God designed it is that my access to the head is through the body. My access, believe it or not, to God the Father is through the church. I can't say, I don't need this church, I'm going solo at home, just me and God. Because St. Paul, in another letter, he says that the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. You can't say that. You can't say, I have no need of this body, I'm going direct to the head. Make sense? My access to God is through the church. That's why I can't sit at home and say, I don't need to go to church, I'll just pray at home. Right? It's me and God. That's not the way God designed it. And God has given you a body to always remind you that this is the way it works. Your access to the head is through the body. I want to ask you a question. Do you think if we asked Jesus, if Jesus came now and we asked him, Jesus, what's your dream for your church? What's your wish? What do you dream for your church? What do you think he would say?
Growth.
Growth? Growth, very good. Growth, anything else? To be one, very good. Anything else?
To love one another.
Very good. Okay, let me read you, apart from Gospel of St. John, chapter 17. This is Jesus' last prayer in the garden before he gets arrested. So this is almost like his death wish. You know when someone has a last wish, what do you wish for? This is the ultimate, this is the maximum. Let's see what he prays for. Let's see what Jesus wishes for us. He says, I'm going to take parts of the chapter. It says, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. So Jesus wants us to be one as God and him are one. I'll keep going. I do not pray for these alone, as in the disciples standing in the garden, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So this is us now. He's praying for us. What does he want for us? That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He keeps going. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, So he's saying to the Father, the glory you gave me, I've just given them. Why? Why have I given them the glory? That they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me. So if I was to ask you, what is Jesus' wish? Because as Robert said, he just wants to be one. That's his ultimate wish. Now, the Orthodox Church understands the heart of Christ very well. That he understands his wish. And now let me explain some of the things we do in the church that focus on this. In our church, what's the most important activity that we conduct in the church?
Liturgy.
Liturgy, yes?
Welcome
people, yes, yes. But what's the most important sacrament, let's say? Liturgy, Eucharist. The fathers call it the sacrament of sacraments. Why? Because in this sacrament, think about it, we have the body of Christ. We all have a part. We all become one body. So this idea of us being one body is made manifest in the Eucharist. Right? There's a very interesting verse that St. Paul says in Corinthians. He says, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread." So if you think about it now, we've all partaken of the bread, of the body of Christ. We all have a part of Christ inside of us. We're all physically the one body of Christ. See how the Orthodox Church understands the mind of Christ, the heart of Christ? Not just that. Before we start the liturgy, we do something very important. We exchange a holy kiss. That's before we start the anaphora, which is the part of the liturgy, the main part of the liturgy. We exchange a holy kiss. Why? Because the church is trying to say that if you can't exchange a holy kiss with every single member in this church, if you've got something against them, I don't like seeing them, don't have communion. And it's actually a church rule. If you're fighting with someone, you can't have communion. Because you can't partake of the body if you're separating yourself from the body. You see what I'm saying? Or you're fighting, this thumb is fighting with this finger. You can't. We all have to be united in order to partake of the body. Another thing. Once the bread and wine get transferred to the body and blood of Christ, what's the first prayer we pray? The first prayer. As soon as, you know, we all bow, we all get up. Then the priest says this. It'll sound familiar to you. This is the first prayer we pray. Make us all worthy, O our Master, to partake of your holies for the purification of our souls, bodies, and spirits. Why? That we may become one body and one spirit, and may share the inheritance of all your saints. Again, the church understands the heart of Christ. That's the wish of Christ. So the first prayer we pray is that we're all made one. You guys know, I think I told you this before, that the priest, before he starts praying, he turns around and says, "I've sinned, forgive me." You guys notice that? So "I've sinned, forgive me." Do you know that if someone from the congregation says, I haven't forgiven you, I'm upset with you about something, and I don't forgive you," do you know what happens? The priest goes home, and we shut shop, and we don't pray the liturgy. We can't. What he's doing there is not something symbolic, it's actually real. You can't. If someone is fighting against anyone, we stop, we don't pray. We go home. And it'll remind you of what something Jesus said. He said, if you go to the altar to present your offering, and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave the altar, and go make up with your brother, then come back. So again, the church understands the heart of Christ. I'm going to get very controversial now. Some funny things that the Orthodox Church does that some people don't really like. We ask for the intercession of the saints. Why? Now that we understand this concept, this will make sense.
It's still part of the body of Christ.
Exactly. I ask Sayyidina to pray for me, don't I? Sayyidina, I've got an exam, pray for me. I ask Michael to pray for me. Why can't I ask St. Mary, St. George to pray for me? Why is it bad when it comes to them? They're still part of the body of Christ, and death doesn't separate the body of Christ. So even though they've passed, they're still part of the body of Christ. Why do we pray for the dead? Why do we do the commemoration of the saints? They're still the body of Christ. They're not separate. Another controversial one. Why do we have to confess to a priest? Can't I just confess to God? Why a priest? Well, think, follow me here. When I sin, I'm separating myself from Christ. That's the definition of sin. Saying to Christ, "I don't need you, I'm going solo." So I've separated myself from Christ, which is the body. So to come back to Christ and reconcile, which is confession, I have to reconcile myself to the body. Remember, my access to the head is through the body. So I have to go back to the body in the form of the priest and reconcile to that body so I can be reconciled to Christ. That's why in the olden days, you have public confession. They stand up in front of the whole church and confess to the body. I can't just confess to the head. I have to be reconciled to the body as well that I've separated myself from. Make sense? If we understand this concept of the body of Christ, a lot of things in the church will make sense. My 10 minutes is up, so I'll just end by saying, that's why love is the most important commandment of all. That's why when they ask Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Give me one rule that I can follow and forget all the other rules. He said to them, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as well. Be reconciled to the body and to me. That's why love's number one. And just to end, they say that paradise is the waiting place for heaven. Why is it a waiting place? Because the people in paradise are waiting for us to join them. And once the body is complete, we can all enter heaven together. Thank you for listening and see you next time.